For you have touched me. Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
So I'm going to tell you the story. I was asked to speak in front of a group, and I didn't know what it was, and it was a noon. It was this noon gathering, and I was nervous that the place was filled to capacity, and so I didn't know how I should go about my speech. And I was the guest, you know, and I wanted to honor these people by speaking of something valid. Anyway, I didn't know what. So I closed my eyes, even though I'm sitting at the head table. I closed my eyes. Now, I think you'll believe this. There are other people out there that may believe this. And for those who don't, then I'm sorry. And to my father, I apologize, because he says, cast ye not your pearls before swine, lest they trample it underfoot. So for those who will go along with me and understand my character, is that I believe the devil is a liar and the father of all lies. And may I be found true, because he says no liars unto the kingdom of God. But anyway, so I was supposed to be a speaker at this event, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I was as nervous as could be. And I prayed, I closed my eyes. And you know what I did? I saw a movie. I actually saw a movie. And in the movie, I saw a man, me, with my back to me, to look, you know, the camera or whatever, and I was drowning in the sea. Well, up came this boat. Now I can tell you the boat, it looked like this, like that. And there were three men on board. Now later on, I looked it up on the internet, and it was a boat from biblical times. Amazing. But anyway, so I saw this boat. I'm in the water drowning. Well, these men came up, these three men on this boat came over to me in the boat, and they reached down and pulled me into the boat. And of course, I started to cry. I was hopeful that the people in the audience could not see that I had tears in my eyes, because I immediately knew what I was going to speak about, because there had been a point in my life where I was a drowning man, and some good people who are broken people, but coming back in a 12-step program, reached down and helped me, a drowning man, save. And I think, so I was deeply touched, but I literally, at that moment, I said a quick prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And not that I'm some spiritual giant, but I was lost. What am I going to talk about? Mm-hmm. Father, help me. And I see this movie. It actually moved with my eyes closed in the day, not sleeping. So I marvel at that, don't you? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a confirmation of, and at times I'm called to speak upon. Let me give you an early experience when I first became a pastor in New Hampshire. I was at a pastor's conference or a gathering, and I'm a junior pastor, and these people were in the ministry 30, 40, 50 years, and they asked me to bring a message. And so I said, yes. I went home and got on my knees, and I was, Lord, what can I tell them they haven't heard? What can I say? What insight, inspiration, wisdom, knowledge? I was just beside myself, and the Lord quieted me, and he said, stop. He said, I've called you to speak for me. I'll give you the words. And so we're just a messenger. And from that point on, I just felt such a comfortableness and an eagerness to share the word of God, the message that he gives me. And there's such a confidence builder in that. But as you were saying, I was like, "What?" I said yes to something I don't even know if I can accomplish. But through prayer and the Lord saying, you know, I've called you at this time. And it was great. It was fine. Praise God.
It is amazing. And how many people have actually heard an audible voice at times?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely an unction,
well,
and have been led by that unction, and I marvel at that. So it's, yeah, because I'd like to know exactly, you know, what is it? It's, you know, they asked Jesus how to pray, and he said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses."
Many prayed.
Pass against And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Mm. But Jesus punctuated that. Mm. If you recall, remember what you said about, you said something about this effect. Jesus punctuated. People miss this. They go, oh, that's it. No. He said, and I tell you this, there was a woman who went to a judge for justice. And he said, depart from me. I'm not going to give you justice, lady. She came back the next day. She says, I want justice. I want justice. She says, take that woman out of my court. He throws her out. She comes back the third day and says, I want justice. And the judge finally says, though I fear not man nor God, because if you're continually coming to me, I will give you justice. And that's how Jesus punctuated prayer.
Right. And Jesus spoke to his apostles. When he sent his apostles out, they came back and they said, We had struggles and praying with the prayers weren't always answered. He said some things need to be prayed for and with prayer and fasting. So it's a total involvement there with the person who is going to pray. But the power of prayer is much underrated, I believe, in the body of Christ. And I've asked, Rhett, I've asked last week. I said, Lord, how many prayer intercessors do we need at the prayer stations? They're all volunteers. The word came back right away, and he says, as many as I have called. And it's always a calling. And in the beginning with this prayer station table we set up, Brother Larry Murphy and myself, we said, we want this to be a Holy Spirit work. We're just managing it and bringing teams of people to pray voluntarily. We've been able to do that since January, and we pray that continues because it's effective, as the word says, it's effective and powerful. We prayed for people for salvation. A number of them have received Christ. We've had people actually almost run up and said, I need prayer. They see the prayer station. That's the advertising there, the prayer station. It's a prayer station on the large letters. And so we're just available. And you don't need to put up a prayer station per se to pray for people. In my experience on airlines and just traveling, I ask people, can I pray for you? And most of the time, yes. And we just get into that. And so if there's one thing that we probably can do a lot more of purposely is to pray for people. Our body, the people that, Christians pray for people, ask and you'll get an answer. And so that's the premise for where, and the Apostle Paul says, pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians. Well, I thought about that. How can I can't keep praying. I have to eat and sleep. But I guess my sense is that the Spirit's saying, be available, be ready to pray in all seasons. And so I'm not just setting a time in the day for prayer. I just want to be ready to pray. I don't have to pray in words. I can just pray in the Spirit, however the Lord leads me. And so that's my understanding in prayer. And I've seen the power of prayer in my family and many others, the power of prayer affecting outcomes.
Okay.
I do want to say I did write a book. It's called Foot Washings. It's a devotional book. I've used it. I've been in prison ministry for over 30 years, even as a pastor. And interestingly, I never spent a day in prison outside of visiting. But I've been doing devotionals, and I put those and compiled them in a book called Foot Washings. You can find that on Amazon.
Well, please, I would like to see that. I'd like to get a copy of that. Do you have it in physical form?
I don't. I did not bring one with me. I meant to. I don't have any, only the copy I'm using. It's a devotional, as I say. It's just some basic understanding in the Word of God with a lot of references. And so that's available, Foot Washings.
Is it available is it available just as an ebook, or is it an actual printed
ebook?
Book
also on Amazon ebook, yes.
You can and a printed book?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't
Let
have
me
any
ask you
left.
About going into prison. So supposedly Paul said We cannot earn our salvation. It is a gift of God, correct?
Amen.
Okay, well, here's what I want to know, though. Jesus said, many will come to me on that day and said, we did signs and wonders. We cast out demons in your name. We did this in your name and that in your name. And he will say, depart from me. I don't know you. I never knew you. Okay. And to others, he'll say, you fed me when I was hungry, clothed me when I was naked, and you visited me in prison. Come in for your reward. And they're going to say, well, we don't remember you. And he says, when you did this to the least of my brethren, you did it unto me. So here are these other people that did this stuff in his name, and yet the people that didn't even know him, who were kind to strangers, so that's seems like a ministry of works.
Well, in John 7:21, basically, he says, you've done all these things in my name, but away from me, I don't know you. You did not do the will of my Father. So the will of God is premium. It is paramount to doing good works, okay? We can always do good works, but it has to be God's will. Many people probably today, even Christians, are doing work. They're good works, but they're not part of God's will. They're not bad works, but knowing God's will is where the power comes from.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. So you've got King David. Now, King David was a blatant sinner. Mm-hmm. And yet every time when Samuel the prophet comes to him and confronts him, he doesn't argue. He says, you're right, and falls right to the ground and covers his head with dirt and asks God to forgive him. So he truly repented, and yet he sent Uriah to the front line so he could marry his wife and had the Uriah killed, yet God forgave him. And Moses killed a man who was abusing maybe a Hebrew, but he killed a man. I mean, and then we have, you know, Paul held the cloaks of stone throwers and killing people, and Stephen.
Right. It's interesting to me that as you read these passages, nothing is left out. The error of man, the fault of man, the guilty of man, and through all of that, God is love. He loves them. He loves the creation. He hates the sin, and he always there to restore. And some of these, some of the passages are the terrible stories of what man has done, and even today it's going on. But God is love, and that love is permanent, it's everlasting. And that's where we grow from, and we're led by God's love, even in good works. Yeah.
We can't earn our way in.
That's true. But there's other ways that people have tried other ways, but as Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And the apostles asked Jesus, how can we gain heaven? Jesus said, believe in the one God sent, which is Jesus. Believe in Jesus. It's all about Jesus. My messages, my teachings, and wherever I'm called to share the word of God, Jesus is the key, the forefront. He is the major player. It's all about Jesus and his work on the cross and his teaching that we proclaim today. We can have a lot of rituals and other things added, but that's what really is important for the believer is to be about Jesus' will. In Luke John